Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer down here. After what can only be called a dreadful performance from Atlanta United. And frustrating here, John, because you go into half, you don't ultimately feel that great about the first half, but it is a 0-0 score. Unfortunately, I predicted it. I was sitting out there with a couple of guys on Radio Row, and I said, I feel like they're going to give up a goal 3 minutes in. It was 2 minutes. But Weston Abu Ali gets one a couple of moments later. He gets a second. You score, and then they score. And then we got to talk about that situation because
yes,
that's starting to become a bad pattern as well. And ultimately, Atlanta United loses this game 3-1. Going to be honest, for any of those on their way home, anyone who's listening, probably not going to be a lot of positivity out of this one. There's a lot to criticize and not too much to take away on the other aspect of this. So what did you see, John? What are your takeaways initially from this game?
A lot of folks got to look in the mirror after this one.
I don't like doing that ever.
I don't either.
Personally.
I don't like looking in your mirror or mine. But after what happened tonight, I mean, the first 45 minutes, if you look at it 45 minutes at a time, we can do it that way to start things off. If you look at things 45 minutes at a time, the defense for Columbus Crew has come along in the last month. And we went into this matchup with two teams that were basically trying to do the same thing. And what I mean by that is you have a first-year head coach. You have a difference in, you know, formation and approach. Henrik Rydström, we kind of referred to as Wilfred Nancy adjacent.
Yeah.
So he's kind of the same thing, but it was a 4-4-2. And you scored four goals in your first two matches. You'd only scored one goal in the last – you scored one goal in the month of March. And what they had tried to do was Diego Rossi's out on the right-hand side. Diego Rossi wants to come into the middle. Wassam Abu Ali – they have him on the left-hand side of the attack. He wants to come in on his right-hand side. And so it turns into bumper cars with two guys trying to do the same thing offensively for Columbus. Diego Rossi was put in a position to do things that he was not comfortable doing, and so you have this power outage with Columbus.
Yeah.
With Atlanta, you saw the defense they were the ones that were making strides. It was an upward curve. We had come into the game discussing what was going on at center back with the pairing of Naomi High and Steon Gregerson. With all of the defensive activity that they had over the last two matches, defensive contributions, I think, for Steon was almost 30 in six different categories coming into this match. You have Naomi High. They seem like it's a decent pairing, and the defense is there for Atlanta United while the offense is trying to get untracked and figure out their relationships and all this kind of stuff. So 45 minutes in, you anticipate the defense being there for Columbus Crew. It was. The chances were not there. They were difficult to try and go over the top in the first 10 minutes. I think it was until, the 10th minute when Atlanta United finally got into the attacking third for going up against Columbus. And so you kind of knew that if you understood where these two teams were coming from over the last month, that first 45, it was going to be a difficult watch at points, and it was. And so you get to the intermission, goalless, everything was kind of what you'd figured, and you're trying to sit there and go, okay, what do the adjustments need to be getting ready for the second 45? Whatever the conversations were with Henrik Rydström and his outfit and the conversations that Tata Martino had with Atlanta United, the message came in with Columbus, and you saw why Columbus invested what will be as much as $8.5 million on Wissam Abu Ali when they brought him in from Al Ahly, and you saw the kind of quality that he brings to the table. You get to 2-0, and then you make the substitutions with about 30 to go. You're thinking fresh legs. I understand that Cooper Sanchez couldn't start because he had started time with the U18s, and so he had come back from camp and so on. So you start Will Riley. You make those subs with 30 to go. You get that instant result at 30 to go, and you end up with Baez with the shot from the left. You end up with the big save by Schulte. Miggy tries to slam in the rebound. Alexi gets the second rebound, the third chance, and it's 2-1. Then you have a moment that we've seen entirely too much over the last handful of years. Doesn't matter who the head coach was.
Yep.
And you can't have that.
Nope.
You cannot have basically when you have the sports anchors doing highlights for American football, when you're doing your anchoring, and you use the two words ensuing kickoff,
that's not good.
You know what that usually means when you're talking about American football.
He's at the 30, he's at the 20, he's at the 10, he's at the 5.
And so you end up with that moment happening. You got it to 2-1, you've got the crowd back in the building, you've got all the noise, and then it just shuts back down again at 3-1. And you're wondering how you end up getting beat that quickly in transition. Literally, it was out to the right-hand side, over the top of Elias Baez. You get behind Baez, and it's a cross, and then it's a slam dunk at the far post. Then literally, it was a sliding slam dunk at the far post. You're back to 3-1, and you've got to climb that two-goal mountain again. And then it's basically Columbus trying to just sit there and navigate and try to get out of Dodge, and they do that. But then you get into I think that Disco is probably going to earn their paycheck this week. The disciplinary committee, they're going to earn their paycheck with what happened later than late. And there's enough stuff to talk about that too. But I think that you had too many things that you cannot have happen if you're trying to win in Major League Soccer happen in this matchup by Atlanta United. And you lose again. You finish up a homestand 1-2-1. And now you go to Chicago, which is traditionally a difficult place to play.
And they've had an excellent start to their season, and we'll talk about Chicago as we go. A couple of things. I want to do a quick look at the statistics here. Possession was in favor of Atlanta, and we've talked about this before. When you have a two-goal lead, you're going to cede possession. So it's an irrelevant number, but 55%. 17-7 shots in favor of Columbus, 7-4 shots on goal. The XG, 1.9 for Atlanta, 2.6 for Columbus. I have some observations, especially about the first 20.
Wait, comma, no. You have observations?
Well, but we're running out of time already in the first segment.
Okay, so go ahead and tease it.
Well, I'll get there first, we got to get to your man of the match. And it's probably about time, deep enough in the season, we update the season standings as well. So who are you giving man of the match to tonight?
I'm giving it to the man between the sticks, Lucas Hoyos.
He conceded 3 goals. How could he get it?
4 total saves, 3 saves from inside the 18, one punch, one high claim.
Yes, very good high claim.
And I'm trying to see what the other statistics were on the night for Hoyos. You end up with, as I sit here and try to get through columns. He had a defensive contribution, 8 recoveries, 1 clearance. He even won a ground duel on the evening. A lot of different categories that Lucas Hoyos contributed to on the day to keep it at a 2-goal game. And so that was, we go with Lucas Hoyos, 67 touches, progression at 39 meters, 13 carries for Hoyos on the night. So Lucas Hoyos, man of the match.
Yeah, it's not 3-1 without Hoyos tonight, honestly. And he did have a number of not only point-blank saves, but obviously a kick save that was almost near no reaction time to allow for the save, but he makes that save. Yep. He had a good save in the first half. The ball was driven low from the outside. He was shielded a bit. It's a save he should make, but ultimately he did make that one. So, I don't think you look at 3 goals and blame Hoyos the way you might blame, I don't know if you saw Zach Steffen's performance.
Oh, yeah, we ran that at halftime.
I don't know if you saw that one.
We ran that.
It wasn't 3 goals like that.
We ran the Keegan Roseberry own goal at halftime, sir.
Yeah, it wasn't 3 goals like that. So there you go. All right, when we come back here on the full-time report, again, I have some observations I want to talk about. Why the first half I thought could have gone differently with 1 or 2 changes. It didn't. Well, you got to hear me out first.
Well, there's also one moment in the first half, too, that we probably should get into as well.
Well, I'll let you bring that up as well. But plenty to get to here. The full-time report, it is John Nelson of Soccer Down here, Abe Gordon. More coming back at you live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for 2 more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back in, Mercedes Benz Stadium, Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here as we continue to take a look at the performance, the outcome here. Atlanta United falls 3-1 to the Columbus Crew. Going to take a quick listen to A couple of highlights here. We're just going to do with the game opening goal because it was pretty much all downhill from that point. These highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. You're coming out of halftime. It's 0-0. You're not overly pleased with the half, but it's one of those, hey, you're not overly charged up about how you played, but you escaped it 0-0. You come out a half, maybe you can figure something out, find something, and get that going. Unfortunately, that's how they felt, not how you felt, and they made it count. Wissam Abu Ali, just 3 minutes into the second half. Technical difficulties, we'll try and listen to that highlight a little bit later, but Abu Ali eventually picks up a brace really, in 5 minutes, really.
It was.
48th and then in the 53rd. A bunch of guys got involved on the assist game there for Columbus. And Max Arfson slams one home, as you mentioned earlier. Let me talk about my aspect of things real quick before we get into a lengthier discussion about what you observed. And you and I talked about it in the break, and I did see what you saw as well. So I'll let you detail how you think it should have been handled there. What I noticed early, especially, and I think you mentioned Atlanta didn't get into the attacking third for 12 minutes or whatever
first,
it was.
Yeah, first 10 or 12 minutes.
And, and I'll tell you why I saw it a trouble in terms of breaking, you know, we got the Final Four going on, in terms of, quote, breaking the press. Columbus's pressure definitely affected Atlanta. And what was frustrating is that the passes to get out of pressure were there. They were available. They were not taken. Often, time after time, it felt like Atlanta United chose the wrong pass to try and escape pressure. And honestly, half the time, John, it was one pass to get out of pressure that then put a player in even more pressure. And that's how they were able to, one, keep you in your defensive third, but also keep you locked on what you, from where you and I are sitting on the far side of the field.
Right.
And the diagonal switches, if you could have found one or two of them, were there. The space was there, and the attack was to be had. But unfortunately, Atlanta United just couldn't put together enough time to get the ball out in that direction. Even when you did get a switch, it wasn't a switch forward. It was a switch backwards, and then they were able to repress on the other side. So really frustrating. That's how I saw it, is that they're with one or two things done differently, you may have had some attacks coming up the right side. Instead, you were pressured on the left side. You're moving forward left side, and you just couldn't get out of it. And that's, as you mentioned, why you lead to minute after minute after minute of Columbus just being in your attacking third. Now let's go back to the studio. Check out Wissam Abu Ali in the 48th.
Dribbles into the attacking third. Centering pass, Chambeau. Steered off to the right, Marrera in the right channel. Down the right wing now to Arfston. Near attacking quarter. Takes a touch. Puts a cross in. Header. Score. Wissam Abu Ali gives Columbus the 1-0 lead.
Obviously, again, incredibly frustrating because you come out of half and it was just a lot of people kind of described it as a sleepy half. They definitely had, I would say, a better position on the field, but you didn't really feel too scared of their opportune chances.
No, not in the first 45.
No, and unfortunately, that all flipped there. As you come out of halftime, they put two home in the first eight minutes, 5 minutes apart. And then we'll talk about this throughout the show. We're going to have plenty of time, but I do want to get to the instance you referred to as a tease first. But you score, and they score in a minute. And that's just – it's not the first time that's happened this season. It's not the first time it's happened past couple of seasons. It is a nasty trend that Atlanta United somehow needs to find a way to buck. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But you had an individual, a singular moment you think maybe if handled differently changes the outcome of this game.
I think it does. And it goes back to the moment, and personally, this is where we shout out to our SDH's own Sophia Cupertino.
I've publicly said the best in the business.
And she
no
is.
No secrets there.
Yes. And so Sophia, in her positions, it was a moment where Atlanta United had an opportunity, and it ended up being nothing because two players end up down adjacent to the far post, basically. Steon Gregerson and Lotte Lott are both down at the end of a play, and I think it ended up being a drop ball by the end of it all. When you go back and look at this particular moment, you have Max Arfston, who is trying to defend, and he ends up pushing. And we have the physical evidence of this from the Sophia Cupertino Library, where Max Arfston pushes Anami High from behind, and Mihai is then knocked into Steon Gregerson, who is then taking out Lotte Lott. And so it literally is like dominoes that happen. Arfston pushes Mihai. Mihai creates an issue for Gregerson. Gregerson's leg ends up buckling underneath him, so he has no place to go. Lotte Lott, who is jumping above Gregerson on this play, is up in the air and gets low-bridged by the whole thing. This was a play that was not even consulted, or VAR might have looked at it. They may not. We don't know. We don't get that kind of an end-of-match answer. There was no recommendation from VAR to have the center ref come and look at it.
Right.
And I think, and this is, like I said, this is just me looking at it and then going back and reviewing what we saw, I think that this moment should have been a penalty for Atlanta United in this match, and it wasn't reviewed for any great distance of time. It wasn't reviewed from VAR, and so I think that Columbus escaped that moment that really should have been a moment for Atlanta at the penalty spot, and it ended up not being that way.
Ultimately, I don't know if I would have given penalty, but I would have reviewed it. I would have looked at it.
So then if it's a push in the box.
Look, I don't play by the letter of the law stuff. There's a lot of different things that I personally would have liked to have seen in that couple of seconds to help me decide whether or not I should be giving penalty. I understand a foul's a foul, and that's fine. I don't think penalties should be given on bailout fouls, and I'm not suggesting that was a bailout, but I want to see where the ball is. Mm-hmm. I want to see where the first contact was. There's just a couple of different aspects I would want to look at. But I did. I was sitting up there with Madison Cruz, who's going to join us in a little bit, and I said, "Man, he pushed our guy in the back mm-hmm. before they were colliding."
Yep.
Right near the far side of the post, and I said, "Are they really not going to?" I mean, it was a very clear push. Even on the review on Apple TV, you're like, that's a push. And sometimes I get a little squirrely with pushes. How much force was there? Is it a guy going down early? And that's why I wanted to look at it and a couple of things. But I don't think there would have been much argument if they had given penalty. I think you can sit there and say, look, his arm is extended. He is taking a player out who is attempting and within reason to make a play on the ball. And you can go through the checklist of does it rise to the occasion of a penalty should be given.
Mm-hmm.
And review that I did get a look at, I think you can definitely taken a look at it. And ultimately, if it rose to the occasion of penalty, I don't think there's a massive argument against it. If they had went to review and said no penalty, I probably could argue that I understand where they're headed with this and why they didn't. The fact that there was, at least to our knowledge, no look, head-scratching.
Yeah.
Very head-scratching.
Yeah, and that to me is the larger issue with that first half point. And I think that, we always talk about game state. And I'm taking this 45 minutes at a time, and we've already had our opening preamble about what we thought happened in the 90 minutes in the overall. But I think that if that moment does happen, then once again the tenor changes and you try and you figure out where you go from here. So I think it was a moment that I think that needs to be looked at and considered just in the overall scope of what went down in the match. And so I think that in that particular moment, I think Columbus escaped.
Yeah.
And then I think that things would have been different.
Well, we've talked for a long time, John, and there'll be times the rest of this year that you and I are going to say this exact same thing. Goals change games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a great first half performance-wise, but if you do get to the penalty spot, if you do finish your chance there, it's 1-0, and certainly what what they look to do out of half is different. What you look to do out of half is different, and we go on from there. So there's no doubt about it. Goals change games. When we come back here on the full-time report, we are going to hear from Jay Fortune. Made his return to the first team tonight, doing so off the bench. And I had actually written Jay Fortune's name down here. Wanted to ask you about not only what you saw from him, but kind of how he fits into things moving forward, because it is an increasingly busy midfield. And so we'll see how you feel about Jay Fortune after we hear from the midfield youngster in a couple of minutes. He is John Nelson. I am Abe Gordon. It is the Full-Time Report. Back in 5 minutes at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon, John Nelson taking you through the action today. A 3-1 defeat for Atlanta United at the hands of the Columbus Crew. If you're just joining us, unfortunately not an opportunity to catch up with Tata Martino after the match. That is because of a late-minute
red card.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Maddie and Jason were downstairs and did have an opportunity to catch up with Jay Fortune, of course, making his return to the first team today. Great to see him out there. I got a question for you, John, on the backside of this. But first, let's hear from Jay Fortune.
Ready? Just what was missing in the second half for you guys?
Kind of tough to say. I think it was a little unfortunate. You know, you get the goal and then to concede right after. I think if we're able to keep the game at 2-1 for a little while longer, the game's different. But it happens, and I think from there it's just about trying to get sustainable possession in their side of the field. I don't think we were able to do that. A lot of it was middle third and playing against the counter. So I think that's one thing we needed to work on.
You got checked in at the 58th minute, back on the field for the first time since May of last year. You know, what were the emotions for you stepping on the field?
Yeah, it was quite a bit. I think one was just excited to go through just the whole day, really. It's been a while since I went through this kind of game day process, especially being here at the Benz, and wasn't too aware of the crowd and everything, just because once you kind of check in, you kind of lose awareness of all that. But I think once the shirt kind of went on, luckily a little bit of nerves went away, but just try to not rush into it, try to sell into the game as quick as possible and move on from there.
What would you like to see get better next week in Chicago for the team?
As a team? I think we stay in games, and from there we just need to be the one who gets the first punch, who scores the first goal, and have teams on the back foot more than we are. You know, it's easier said than done. I've watched the first five this season, and you know, it's a lot easier to watch from up there than to when you're on the field. So I think now that hopefully, as I'm starting to get more and more involved with the team, we'll see going forward, and then I can provide a better answer.
Couple of things here. First, want to get your reaction to what he said there. I think he's absolutely right about Alexei Maranchuk punching one home in the 60th, mm-hmm. and before you have an opportunity to kind of get Columbus on their heels a little bit and put the pressure on them. What was a 2-goal lead is now 2-1. It went the other way. They immediately score, and they're right back to the 2-goal lead, and unfortunately you never able to close it from there. Definitely a frustrating moment. Again, not the first time that's happened this season. We'll talk about that as we continue, but what else did you hear from him?
Well, it's good to hear Jay, to be able to talk to him in a post-match setting. And Jay had a cup of coffee with Jose Silva and the Twos just to kind of get the cobwebs out. And now that you have Jay Fortune available to you, you know, it's you look at the numbers that were there this evening, and he played 32 minutes for you. So I imagine in Chicago, you'll try and check and see, you know, can you give me 45 to start, something like that, to that effect.
Now, is that 32 on the scorebook? Because with
well,
all the
32,
extra time,
so 46.
It's really,
yeah.
It's really a whole
yeah,
half.
Yeah, so
right?
It's like, yeah, 45 by the time you were done.
Yeah.
But the numbers for Jay on the night, 29 of 31 passing at 94%, passes in the attacking half, 16 of 18. He had a long ball to his credit. On the dribble for Jay Fortune tonight, 38 touches. He was fouled once and had 11 carries and a total progression of just over 38 meters. So 95 meters total carry distance on 11 carries. So positive number there when he had possession of the ball. Then defensively, you look at the numbers there, two defensive contributions, one his only tackle, had a pick, two recoveries, and was 3 for 3 on his duels in 45 minutes. So a lot of different things registered on the evening by Jay Fortune in the 32-plus-13.
I guess the question is, where does he fit in a very crowded midfield room? Obviously, Galarza out tonight, mm-hmm. because of the visa. At some point, that will get worked out. Maybe it's before Chicago. Maybe it's not Alzate and mm-hmm. O'Reilly and Cooper Sanchez, who was being rested a little bit tonight, and then he'll be back, you know. So it's a lot of questions and mm-hmm. decisions to be made for Tata Martino, of course, when he returns to the sideline, which won't be next week against Chicago.
Right, but I think that what you look at with Jay is – the opportunity to have a midfielder that can sit back as a six. He can work his way through and be an offensive presence if you want to. So he can give you he can go either AC or DC for you. And whatever you're looking for from Jay, if you need him to flip the switch and work his way down the left-hand side in offense and, you know, turn into more of an offensive presence, he can do that. He can stay home for you as well. So having that kind of, the Swiss Army knife, I think, is what we're looking forward to here, having Jay Fortune. But, yeah, you mentioned 32 plus 13, I'll give you 45. And so I want to see what it's going to be like this week at practice for Jay.
Yeah.
And to see – you know, would he be considered for a start? Does he come in and give you another round of 30 or 35, something like that, and go from there?
Yeah, and the question then for when he is considered for a start is who maybe takes the back seat. Somewhat of a revolving door with Alzate getting in there today, Will Riley getting in there today, Cooper Sanchez, does he work his way back in against Chicago, Galarza, and so
it's literally going to depend on what you're looking for.
Correct.
When it comes to your midfield presence. Are you going to try to have a more of a defensive posture, or are you going to try and sit there and try to tilt the field quickly and have someone like, you know, Jay Fortune be that person for you?
All right, when we come back, Madison Cruz has made her way back from underneath the stadium. I want to go through what happened late stages. Tata Martino obviously gets red carded. He's going to be unavailable to, well, at least in terms of being on the sideline match day for Atlanta United as they hit the road to Chicago. So she was down there preparing to chat with Tata Martino.
And then
and
she
didn't get the opportunity to. So I want to hear from her what was her vantage point, how it all began, and how things got cleared up and all that. So that's what's coming up next. We're going to have Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here join John Nelson of Soccer Down Here.
Check.
And myself, Abe Gordon, as we come back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What was once two is now three, as Madison Cruz joins Abe Gordon and John Nelson here in the booth as we continue breaking stuff down here on the full-time report.
The intelligence factor went up astronomically when Maddie put on the headset.
Well, we have in her contract a quota of hearing from Maddie each full-time report, and we were unable to hear from Maddie in our opening segment due to no interview with Tata Martino. Of course, that happens because shortly or around the 90th minute on a play along the sidelines, a little scuffle takes place. He eventually gets red carded. You were already down on the field, Maddie, preparing to talk to Tata before what we eventually turned into 11 announced minutes of stoppage time.
By the way, wild.
Yeah,
was terrible. Not expecting that.
No. And this is why you're here, because we need you to walk us through what you saw down there. Mm-hmm. You know, traditionally you leave the press box about 10 to go,
yep,
and you're ready to pounce, and you and Justin Veldhaus are getting ready to catch up with Tata Martino. You get the questions, comes up here, and it ends up on the full-time report.
Mm-hmm.
All HE double hockey sticks breaks out in front of you.
Yes.
And so as it's going on, what are you seeing? What's going on in front of you? Break this down.
Yeah, listen. So it starts immediately. Obviously, you have that foul that is called. Personally, for me, just watching it, it's that collision. I forget which player it was, but I know it was Elias Baez as well on that left side. It comes in. To me, from watching it, I didn't think it was there was anything
no,
in
it, just
it really.
Like it Baez is kind
they're
of
both,
boxing
they're both
out.
Going for the ball. They're both going for the ball. There's a little bit of contact, but it's on both sides.
Yeah.
And then Columbus goes down. Columbus is calling for it. Referee takes a couple seconds, then gives it.
Like 20, yeah.
And so then you get a yellow to Baez. That, for me, I'm like, okay, whatever. Fine. That's cool. I mean, that's kind of been happening for most of the game anyway, so I didn't really expect it that much anyway. But then what happens is, and I went back because I didn't see this part, and I wanted to make sure what I was seeing too, because I was looking down. I initially looked up, then I saw Tata in the technical. I looked up, and I went back on the Apple feed to watch it. Hendrick is having a conversation with Enea Mihai. That is what initiates everything. So Hendricks is saying something to Enea. They're having a conversation. Then Tata goes into the technical, and that's when they're having more words exchanged to each other. That's when you have one of the assistants on Atlanta try to come in and just, hey, just, you know, just get in the middle, just make sure, hey, like, let's go back. Then that's when you have players coming over on both sides, more of the technical staff coming in. There's a couple put like some pushing, shoving, but it wasn't a fight. It wasn't a big thing like that. It was just an exchange of words there. But the red card comes because Tata stepped into the opponent's technical booth. Mm-hmm. Red card there, and then he gets sent off there. So that's kind of the sequence of events with it. And yeah, I mean, I think just boiling over, I mean, it's just, you know, what happened in the match.
There was a very minor pushing, but nothing to any serious extent.
If the pushing was like anything, the pushing was trying to be like, hey, let's.
It's like, y'all get over there,
yes,
y'all get over
that's
here.
That's what it was.
I know this is going to sound weird. It was honestly a relatively respectful scrum, if you could say that way.
It was a respectful scrum.
Atlanta was very clear that they weren't pushing Columbus. Columbus was very clear that they are not going after Tata in any
Although there did seem to be a moment that Mike described where one of the crew assistants made contact with Tata Martino, but like I said, disciplinary committee is going to.
I wouldn't be.
Shocked if there is a look at it, especially from the disciplinary committee or anything else like that. Just because there was a lot that did happen that mm-hmm. we didn't see in anything else as well, that they might get a clear view, especially with all the angles they have too. But from what I saw in the vantage point and going back on my own and looking at it, what initially starts it is after that foul, there are some words exchanged between Anea Mihai and with Hendrick as well. And then that's what starts it. That's what then prompts Tata to step into the technical.
And there were a couple of calls, fouls given, both of them, to my knowledge, in favor of Columbus that were late.
And I
think
agree.
Part of this comes from the idea that Baez fouls a member of Columbus. That member then wildly swung, and not on purpose, wildly swung an arm and hit his teammate, I think, in the face. And then so now you've got two members of Columbus that go down,
mm-hmm.
And Baez is kind of right there, and it kind of looks like Baez has taken out two members. That's not exactly how it went down.
No, that did not happen.
And then from there, it devolves into Tata on the sideline. So it really did feel much ado about nothing, both in terms of, in my opinion, the Baez foul, because Columbus accidentally took out their own guy with a headshot, and then in terms of what went down with Tata as well. Again, a little bit of much ado about nothing, because it didn't seem like there was any ill intent from anyone on either side. You're obviously going to come to your guy's defense.
Right.
And so that's kind of where the group came
but
together.
But what you cannot have at the beginning of all of this, like I said, I agreed with you. I thought it was incidental contact. You have the player for Columbus and Elias Baez going for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that there was any malicious intent.
No.
I literally think that, you know, it's like when you're trying to leave your apartment in a hurry and you forget that the door, you know, opens and closes a certain way, and you end up thinking that it's a push instead of a pull, and you end up slamming into the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought happened with the contact with the crew player and Elias Baez. Then crew player is down. And the crew player's down for quite some time. And I think Jason had measured it about 20 seconds. Then you have, after that delay, a whistle and then a decision.
Because here's the thing. Even from being down there, I saw the bench and everyone on the sideline for Columbus yell. They were asking for a foul. And fortunately, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but it does look like that. When you do see that reaction, when you see that, it does look like then it's like, oh, you're letting that decide the call there. And now, I don't know, maybe it was a signal from the VAR. Maybe they saw something, said, hey, come back, that's a foul. And that could be exactly what happened. But in the standpoint of looking at it, that is what it seemed like to me.
One of the problems I would have with this, I mean, we got to take a break here so we don't fall too far behind. One of the problems I have with that is you're standing right in front of the official, and the main ref is then looking at the play as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be a delay but between, I missed it, but my assistant had it.
Absolutely.
They should be making this call very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's
part of the big issue is that the delay, I have issues with delayed calls all the time,
mm-hmm.
in terms
yes.
of, well, you can't wait till the guy takes a bad shot to bring mm-hmm. it back to the spot. And you see that all the
time.
Yeah,
and even too, when we talk about that as well, that's not the big message when we look at what happened today either. Like, it's
no.
especially with everything too. I mean, there were a lot of moments, and it's just Atlanta, it has to be better in the attack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's that that's the truth. I mean, Atlanta has to be better. I mean, I think defensively you have seen an improvement. I mean, yeah, obviously you look at 3-1, but I do think that there was a really strong defensive performance too when you look at some of those pieces that come together. And because it gets to a point where when you're looking at it as well, when you have possession, when you're doing so well defensively and you're trying to get something in the attack going and nothing happens, that can be deflating because then the pressure's there of, okay, I have to be perfect in the back because we have to make sure that we're keeping this solid when nothing's happening in the attack. That can cause a little bit of that deflation, that can cause a little bit of stress and everything else too, and that's where that can happen. It has to get better offensively.
All right, well, obviously a 3-1 defeat, not a clean sheet for Atlanta United, but they would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they're going to donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. All right, when we come back, we'll put a bow on things. We'll look ahead to next week, which will now be without Tata Martino, as Atlanta United back on the road to take on the Chicago Fire. So we'll talk about a couple of things and turn the page as quickly as possible. That's what's going on in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon, John Nelson, and special guest Madison Cruz.
Check soccer and down double here. Check.
I just saw you pull up the scoreboard here, John, so let's go ahead and turn the page a little bit to Atlanta United's next match. It's on the road against Chicago. And, Maddie, you and I in the pre-match kind of highlighted this game. And you say, hey, Chicago's off to a pretty good start, but they're taking on Nashville, a team that's leading right now in the Eastern Conference.
How'd that work out for you?
It looks right now like Chicago is getting the better of Nashville early on in
final.
That game. So, oh, that was done.
Done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So Chicago gets the win in that game. I thought it was still ongoing.
Mm-mm.
So a really strong performance from them, and unfortunately Atlanta United heads into town, Soldier Field, won against a Chicago team that is clearly better than we maybe thought they were going to be, coming off an impressive victory over Nashville, who again was leading the Eastern Conference, and they had to do so without Tata Martino. They had to do so while not playing great the past couple of games, and again, some of that due to themselves and some of that due to the opponent, but either way, whatever momentum you had after the Philly win, you tried to hold on to it with a draw, scoreless, but that seems to be gone over the international break and whatever that performance was tonight.
Yep, and you end up with a first-minute goal. What was it, 30 seconds in?
Yeah, 30. I believe it was the fastest in Chicago Fire history is what MLS Communications, I believe, released.
So Philip Zinkernagel gets the goal on the board, and it was 1-0, and that held up. So 89 minutes of hanging on to a 1-0 lead for Chicago
and Fire. And doing it against a Nashville side that, I mean, arguably I would say is one of the best right now.
Yeah.
And you were able to, I mean, listen, you're at home and you're able to close down, but still, I mean, you look at everything else with this match, like Nashville's not an easy team to do that against. And you were able to hold on, especially getting the goal early, and that can be difficult. And especially, too, with, I mean, only 10 shots and 4 on target for Nashville throughout the entire game. Chicago had 9-3 on target for the shots. I mean, listen, Chicago's a good side. Greg Berhalter is still building, finding his moment, and they're finding their rhythm right now. And Atlanta, unfortunately, has to go to the road on the road at Soldier Field and try to get 3 points out of this one. It's going to be a difficult matchup between Chicago just because they're hot right now. And Atlanta just needs to find more of that steam and get things going.
And you've got a back line that started tonight of Barroso, Jack Elliott, Mbokazi, and Andrew Gutman with Chris Brady in net.
Gutman?
Yes.
Get after him.
Yep. And so it's that back line has
turned out to
be. Well,
you want some reckless tackles that can start a scrum. There's one.
That'd be really stout. But, you know, traditionally, I mean, Andrew Gutman and the little ball of hate, Johnny Dean out of Mercer.
I prefer Jimmy Dean out of the frozen food section.
From Birmingham Legion and Mercer University, Johnny Dean was on the bench. But no Hugo Kuyper's in the lineup tonight for Chicago, but they score with Zinkernagel and solid back line from what we've seen so far from them. And so you're getting adjusted to what you're looking for from Greg Berhalter. It will be a test in a very tough environment, a place that you have not really had a whole lot of luck.
Yeah, and again, you're going to be doing so without Tata Martino on match day, but obviously he's going to be very heavily involved.
I'm thinking he might be in a highly elevated location
in a disguise, maybe
Soldier Field. I think he'll be in a box.
You got a Bobby Valentine mustache.
I mean, Javier Mascherano is able to still sit in the stands for that one match.
Yeah, so you got Mascherano in row number one, yelling down to
With the phone.
You had Chalice, who was sitting with the fans in Vegas on that one time. But yeah, no, there won't be a Bobby Valentine mask. But I think that obviously, yes, he will be active in the process all week long, and I think he'll make the trip.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Jay Fortune, what's his availability? Is there a chance that Matias Galarza gets his visa issue settled and he becomes available again? You had been rolling wild with Cooper Sanchez. He had to take tonight partially off just because of some overwork with the youth national team.
Yep.
Is he go back into the starting lineup? Do you still like the Mihai and Steon Gregerson pairing the back with Barakal now at a full go? So a lot of things to be considered here for the manager who won't be on match day, the manager in Tata Martino. That's going to do it here for the full-time report. Join us again 7:30 Chicago Central Time, so add the hour. 7:30 on Saturday, April 11th, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on the Chicago Fire. A special thanks to Dom Chorosky,
thank you, Dom,
our producer back in studio, and to Jake Cook,
thank
our
you,
on-site
Jake.
Engineer. For Mike and Jason,
thank you, Mike and Jason,
of Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz.
Thank you, Maddie.
And John Nelson,
thank you, John,
of Soccer Down Here.
Yeah.
I'm Abe Gordon.
Thank you, Abe.
Once again, the final today, the Columbus Crew 3 and Atlanta United 1 on Sports Radio 92.9.
We go.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet Reliant 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and surfaces with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?